Welcome back to Popcorn Premiere's first episode of the semester, and I am joined today by Kit Seitley to rank all the Hayao Miyazaki movies. So yeah, welcome back to the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us. Yeah, first episode of the semester. And ooh. Yeah, Miyazaki, I think we could probably both agree, is one of the best filmmakers just ever.
Just ever.
Yeah. And last year, he made The Boy and the Heron, which was one of my favorite movies of the year. I don't know about you.
No, yeah. Same for me.
And in my opinion, it got snubbed in a lot of Oscars.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Like, I remember looking at the scoring, and I was like, Boy and the Heron got snubbed for Indiana Jones? Dial of Destiny? I was like, y'all.
And Spider-Verse 2. Spider-Verse 2. Like, both of them deserved score nominations, and neither of them got it.
Yeah.
Boy and the Heron, I think, also, like, it would have deserved a foreign language film nomination if it counts for that, because it does have a dub, so I don't really know how that works. And I don't know, I would have nominated it for Best Picture.
Yeah, I would too. We need to go back to nominating animated picture, films for Best Picture.
Yes, I totally agree.
Yeah.
Anyways, though, so we don't have too much time, so I think we should just dive in. Maybe the way that we should do this is we'll both start from the bottom of our lists.
Okay.
And then once, like, we say the movie, we will talk about it and, like, kind of keep going up our lists. But say, like, you have a movie at the bottom of your list that's at the top of my list, like, we'll talk about it then rather than wait until
that makes sense.
We get to the later part. Hopefully that makes sense for people listening. Do you want to go first, or should I go first?
You can go first, because I know that you said the bottom of your list is a movie that I have not seen.
Okay. So, yeah, my bottom Hayao Miyazaki movie is Nausicaä of the Valley of the Wind. That's like the full title. And I found the world, which I think you agreed with me based on the little bit of the movie that you have seen, like, the world is incredible. It kind of felt a lot like Dune, in my opinion. But I just sort of found the pacing of the whole thing to not really match how spectacular the world was. I also watched this movie personally, like, when I was a lot more of an immature movie watcher and hadn't seen a lot of other Miyazaki movies. So I think maybe if I rewatched it, I would appreciate it more, because at least the way that my list is, most of the movies that I've seen more recently are higher up, because we love recency bias, right? I don't know about you.
No. There's a movie that is probably my ranking for it. It's probably going to be like a super unpopular opinion, but the way that you summarized your feelings for Nausicaä is how I feel about that movie.
Gotcha.
So when we get to that, I'll be like, remember what Logan said about Nausicaä? That's how I feel about this one.
Well, I'm excited to see which one, because I also have a really unpopular opinion.
Okay.
Which is, like, my second least favorite. And by the way, just to clarify, like, at least for me, when I say least favorite, I feel like least favorite is, like, sort of downplaying how good these movies are.
Yes, 100%.
Yeah. Like, each of these movies are some of the best animated movies, like, ever made. Like, the animation is spectacular in all of them, and I think all of them I could recommend.
Yeah, personally. No, 100%. Like, there's good things in all of them. Like, I think my lowest one is a 3-star rating. Like, like, it's not like...
Yeah, my lowest is a 3.5.
Exactly.
Yeah. And what's cool is, like, you know, Nausicaä, I mean, I rated it 3.5, but average on Letterboxd is a 4.1. So, you know, like, I think there's a lot of varying opinions and whatnot. Anyways, though, I don't really have too many more thoughts on Nausicaä, so I guess we'll just jump to, what is your bottom movie?
We were talking about this movie before we started. My bottom one is The Wind Rises. I feel so bad about it, too. I will at some point rewatch it subbed, because one of my main problems with it was the dubbed, and I think that's the reason why I didn't like it as much. I will say, let me look at my self-review. I think the themes of it are so strong. I think the animation is beautiful. I just felt like there was something missing for me. I just felt like sometimes the characters lacked a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, overall, like, it's such an interesting story. It's such an interesting world. I love how the main character, like, a lot of his feelings are like told through like dreams of this like one guy he saw that when he was a kid, like a famous pilot. I just think that, I don't know. I just think I was missing something, or like, yeah. So that's why it's at my bottom. And I feel so bad.
I mean, I get what you mean. For me, I loved this movie.
That's okay.
I, like, you were saying that you gave it 3 stars. I gave it 4.5. And I can just say where I have it ranked. I have it ranked as my number 4
okay.
Miyazaki movie. And the reason why, to me, is, like, I found the dream sequences and whatnot to just be, like, spectacular. And mm-hmm. I found the overall story to be great. But I also kind of view this as the perfect intro Miyazaki movie.
Ooh, okay.
Because it is able to, like, show a bit of, like, the world building that he's able to do and sort of the spectacular, you know, just creations he's able to make in animation. And I think it really hones in on his fascination with airplanes, which I think we've seen in a lot of other Miyazaki films as well,
mm-hmm.
And just, like, flying around in general. But what this film has is just kind of being a little bit more generic in the sense that it doesn't fully or mostly take place in fantasy. A lot of it is sort of based, at least from, like, a believable type of realism. And I really appreciated that, and I thought that he was able to make this realistic world still feel as fantastical, at least to me, as his made-up fictional type of world.
No, 100%. Yeah. I think I just need to do another rewatch of this one mm-hmm. and watch it subbed. But, like, the thing that I really loved about it was that, like, what you're talking about, like, kind of, like, a fantasy aspect, even though it's, like, centered in, I think it's World War One, correct?
One or two.
And I really love the idea that's brought up. I think it's between the one main character and his friend, where they're talking about how, like, they're making, like, art, but it's being used for war, and their yeah. kind of complication with that. And I thought that was so interesting, especially, mm-hmm. I watched this, I think, like, after, like, Godzilla Minus One. So, like, the, like, theme of war and, like, having to contradict that was, like, so interesting to me. So, yeah. Yeah.
And then there's also the love story, too, which yeah. I thought was great. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I'm kind of a sucker for love stories.
That's okay. When you get to my, like, when you get, like, into my, like, top whatever, you'll see that I also am a sucker for love stories.
Okay, gotcha. All right. So I guess now we'll move on to my second least favorite Miyazaki movie. And this is a really hot take. And you're probably going to really disagree with me here. My, like, 10 out of 11 Miyazaki movie is My Neighbor Totoro.
Oh, that's okay. I was so worried okay. that you were going to say something else. No, my Neighbor Totoro is my next
okay.
one. So right. this works out perfectly.
That does work out pretty well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. For me, it just, like, it was a really interesting film, mm-hmm. but I watched Spirited Away, and that was my first Miyazaki movie, and we'll get to Spirited Away later. But then for this to follow Spirited Away up just kind of felt almost disappointing mm-hmm. in, like, a weird way, where, like, the scale of this movie was a lot smaller, and I was expecting it to be, like, this really mystical type of thing, but I ended up just being kind of annoyed by the main characters and... like, I don't know, I wasn't really moved by this movie, at least like I was by something like Spirited Away. Mm-hmm. But it also has been a while since I've seen it.
Yeah. No, I remember watching My Neighbor Totoro and kind of being like, this is kind of like all over the place.
Yeah.
But my friend was like, oh, but like you have to think about it like sometimes Miyazaki doesn't do like a 3-act structure or like structure his films. And then I was like, oh, you're kind of right. And also, in addition, it kind of reminds me of, like, you know, like, older Disney films, like mm-hmm. Peter Pan. Like, here's these kids that are trying to get away from this adulting thing, and they have this, like, fantasy element to it that is still kind of real life in a way.
Yeah.
I think overall, like, I enjoyed it a lot, but I think I kind of agree with you where I just don't feel connected to it in a way. Yeah. I think maybe, again, it's another movie that I need to rewatch again, but I just felt like another, like the thing that I was saying with Wind Rises, where I was like, something feels missing in a way, but I can't really put my finger on it, at least in my opinion. So,
yeah, that was also kind of how I felt too. And I just, yeah, I don't know. I left it and I was just, is it bad that I feel disappointed? Like, I felt weird for that. And I'm glad I'm not the only person.
No, you're not the only one.
But yeah, so I guess we should just move on, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So do you want to do the one that you have above
Totoro?
Yeah.
My number 7, I think that's the number we're on right now, is Ponyo.
I'm glad that you have Ponyo there, just because Ponyo was my next one.
Let's go! Twins.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think I had Ponyo at, what is it, 9. So, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay, cool.
So what were your thoughts
on Ponyo? So I will say I have a little bit of a bias towards Ponyo because it's supposed to be a Little Mermaid retelling, mm-hmm. and I'm a huge Little Mermaid fan. But I also think it's just beautifully animated. Like, obviously, we're all going to say, like, all of these are beautifully animated. But I think just the element of water, like, I always love when water is used in Miyazaki because mm-hmm. just the way that it looks is so pretty.
I agree.
And also, especially the fantasy world under the water. I think Ponyo's mom is really pretty. Mm-hmm. And I also think it's just a cute kind of story of, like this boy, like having a friend and like, I don't know. I haven't seen it in a while. I don't think I've seen it since like 2020, but, I just remember really like liking it and liking the world and kind of liking that like oddness of it. Like, I think Miyazaki most of the time is like, even though it's fantastical and cool and like, there's some kind of weirdness to it. I think Ponyo was one of the ones that was kind of like out there a little bit. Yeah. And I think that works to its advantage, and I really enjoyed that movie.
I really enjoyed it too. I was just kind of wowed by a lot of the scenes with the waves and mm-hmm. just the huge tidal waves. Those just blew me away. Mm-hmm. And I watched this at the start of last semester, and okay. I was like in the library. I'd done all my homework, so I just pulled out my iPad and was like, I'm gonna watch Ponyo. Why not? I was trying to watch through all of Miyazaki before Boy and the Heron came out. Mm-hmm. So that was just another step towards that. And I just had a really good time, and I was just mesmerized by it. And I watched all of them in the dub, and I thought that Liam Neeson as the dad, or like, I think it was the dad, right? Ponyo's
yeah.
dad. I just thought it was like really funny in
yeah.
kind of a good way.
No, seriously, yeah.
And just overall, I don't know, it kind of wowed me, but it also didn't move me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like, it's one of those movies where I think it was more like a journey to see how Ponyo got to where she is, and also the boy. And I think their stories, like, on a level aren't that really oomph to it, I think.
Yeah.
Which is, like, totally fine. Like, obviously, it's, like, a simple story, and a simple story is not, like, that's not a bad thing. But I think that also adds into addition, like, how much you care about those characters and such.
Yeah. I think for me, I would kind of compare Ponyo, not, like, thematically or, like, just, like, the way that they are as movies, but in the way that I sort of interpreted them, I'd compare it to Pixar's Luca.
Ooh, that's just a good comparison.
Yeah, in the sense that, like, both of these studios make these amazing, spectacular films that can really move you. But then these films felt, like, safer and not necessarily, like, moving, but still, like, a really good time. Mm-hmm. And, like, this, like, Ponyo for me, I guess my last thought is that it made me wish I grew up with Ghibli.
Oh, my gosh, yes. Yeah,
because I never grew up with Ghibli.
Yeah.
I got into them, like, 2 years ago.
Oh, okay, yeah. Because I got into Ghibli, like I watched one of them that I'll be getting into when I was younger, and I didn't like it. So mm-hmm. I was like, not really. And then, like, a few years later, I watched another one, and I was like, ooh, I actually really like this. And then I took it, yeah, like a break, and then like started watching them more with like other people, like more so into college. So
that's nice.
Yeah.
Oh, watching Ghibli with other people is so fun.
It's so much fun. Yeah. There's one of them I'll tell a funny story with, but that's not until like in the top three. But yeah.
Gotcha. Okay. So should I do, or wait, do you have any last thoughts on Ponyo before?
No,
okay.
You're good.
So I guess I'll do what I have right above Ponyo, which this might also feel a bit low. Howl's Moving Castle.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's another, I kind of felt very similar to Ponyo with Howl's Moving Castle, where it's just like, it was good, it was beautiful. I didn't necessarily like the aspect where she was an old lady for the majority of the film.
Okay.
Like the vast, like, I liked when she was an old lady for a bit, but then I was like, okay, I feel like this is, you know, we got to kind of get her back because, I don't know, it just felt a little odd. But I don't know, that might have just been me, and maybe there was sort of a symbolic reason to it that I wasn't necessarily getting when I was watching the movie for the first time. But I don't know, to me, it was good, but didn't move me, kind of like Ponyo. And mm-hmm. I just found it to be slightly better.
Mm-hmm. I really love Howl. Should I say what number I have it at?
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, I have it at number 3.
Okay, wow.
Yeah, no. I've watched this movie like so many times.
Yeah.
I think the way that I interpret Sophie's story is her kind of like just having life pass by her and like her not really doing what she wants, and that's why she's like an old lady for the most of the film, and her also being insecure about herself. So that's mm-hmm. why I felt like she, like, that's why she was cursed as an old lady, and we don't even get her being herself again like fully until the end of it, when she kind of like finally does that. And that's what I also, that's actually why I have it at number 3. Like, I think each of the characters' stories are like really interesting, and how each of them all have kind of an arc. The last time I watched this movie, I watched it with my friend and my partner, and my partner's like, hey, so did this woman like start a whole war so Howl can like have a girlfriend? And I was like, oh, I never realized that. So there's a little bit of plot holes there. Sorry for spoiling a movie from 2004. Whoops. you can get that out if you want. I think it's beautifully. I also think before The Boy and the Heron came out, I thought The Howl's Moving Castle was the best dubbed. I just think that like it was done really well. Also, just the animation, as usual, is gorgeous. And I also really like that a lot of the world is not explained. You can kind of just tell by how the characters act and what kind of how the story goes. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's where I'm at.
Gotcha. Yeah, I just, maybe I need to rewatch it. It was another one of the ones where I watched it like first.
Okay.
And I still would say at that point I was a very like immature movie watcher. So I think that, and then probably Totoro are ones that I need to rewatch probably the most out
yeah.
of all these.
No, Howl's Moving Castle, though, it's that one, and another one that I'll get to is that those are the two that I'm kind of like, these are good first time Miyazaki films, especially mm-hmm. for Ghibli. My one above Ponyo, at least on my list, is number 6, and that's Spirited Away. I know. I have a weird list, everyone. I watched Spirited Away. I mentioned it earlier that I first watched a Ghibli movie when I was like too young to really understand it, and that was Spirited Away. Mm-hmm. I just was like, I don't understand this. I don't get this. And then I rewatched it, I think 2 years ago, and I'm like, am I just missing something? Like, I love it. Like, the world is great. I enjoy kind of like the aspect of it, and I love that it's like a young girl like having to go through like, because there, I don't think there's ever been like an animated movie up until that point where it just, that was like kind of a story of just a character, like I guess similar to Alice in Wonderland in a way, of like a character like
going through the motions. But yeah, I don't know why I just never connected to it. Maybe I have to watch it a third time to get it. But yeah, that's my... Yep. I'm just not going to say anything else.
This is my number one.
I'm sorry. Whoopsie daisies.
That is okay. This was the first, like what you said, this was also my first Ghibli. Mm-hmm. Actually, no. My second Ghibli, because mm-hmm. my first one was Secret World of Arrietty, which I watched when I was really, really young mm-hmm. and like barely remembered it. Mm-hmm. But like this was the first Miyazaki movie I watched, and I watched it like maybe 10 months ago or something. So yeah, I mean, I was just completely floored by everything, especially once, you know, we got into the world. And at first, I was really confused and was like, oh, do I not like this? Like, I kind of considered stopping watching it within the first 10 minutes, but I decided to just let it sort of continue going and to give it some more time. And I'm very glad that I did that because I was just completely sunk into the world and everything that it really had to offer.
No, yeah. Now I'm debating it. Like, now I guess I'm going to rewatch it tonight. Because, like, the way that you talked about it, I was like, yeah, like, all the creatures are really cool. Mm-hmm. All the mythology is really cool. Yeah. I don't know why my brain is like, not for me. And I'm like, no, this should work for me.
That's how I feel about Howl's Moving Castle. So I get it.
Yeah, totally.
But, yeah, I don't know. It just, and it's weird because... I was floored and loved this one, and then I followed it up with Totoro and Howl's, which just didn't hit the same mm-hmm. for me. So it kind of confuses me that that's how I feel. And why don't I like Howl's and Totoro like nearly as much as I like Spirited Away? I don't know.
No, that's totally understandable.
Yeah, like you were saying, it's creatures and it's mythology and just the world and I don't know, like the vibe.
The vibes.
The vibes of Spirited Away. Just there's nothing like it, even made by Miyazaki. Like, I don't know, like there's nothing I've seen, whether it's Miyazaki or not, has ever made me feel the way that Spirited Away mm-hmm. made me feel. And aside from one other film that got kind of close to it, but yeah. So those are my thoughts.
Okay.
Do you have
no?
Okay.
you summed it up really well.
Oh, I'm glad. Thank you. So should I do the one I have after Howl's? I guess?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. So that for me is Kiki's.
Oh, that's also mine.
Oh, yeah. Awesome. So wait, you have that at
after Spirited Away. So that's my five.
Your five. Okay. I think this is my seven. Yeah.
Okay.
So yeah, I just Kiki's. It, like, I've said this for Pa'anio, I've said this for Howl's, and I'm going to say it for Kiki's as well, where, like, you know, beautiful movie, felt great to watch it, and was, like, enjoying it the entire time, but just didn't necessarily move me and make me feel any better than, like, 4 stars.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's understandable. I think... Another thing with Kiki is that I think the story itself is, like, kind of all over the place at some points where, I'm thinking of the ending. I don't think the ending really wraps up what I, like, kind of felt like it should have wrapped up in. But I really love Kiki's story and how it talks about, oh, my gosh, what's the word? It's the, like, overworking yourself and kind of, like, just how that like affects you. And I think that's really interesting, especially for her to be like, I forget how old she is, but like she's a young, like it just in that culture of like witches, like they have to move out and she's all excited about it. And then when she finally is like, oh, I grew up a little too fast. And I think that's a really interesting concept, especially in like a younger film. Mm-hmm. I also think the, I'm a huge ocean beach person, so I'm always down for any setting that's set in the beach. And I think also the sound, I mean, obviously the soundtrack for all of these films are amazing, but I think for Kiki, like, just the soundtrack works with it because, like, mm-hmm. when you listen to it, it's like you can tell that it's like something at a, like a seaside town. But I haven't seen it in a while, but I remember really connecting to it, I think, because this was around the time of, like, quarantine, and I was kind of, like, overworking myself anyway, and I was like, oh, that's me. So I think that's why I liked it a lot. So, yeah.
I gotcha. Maybe I could connect to it more than
I this whole list is just us being like, oh, maybe our opinions are wrong, but maybe we should watch it again.
Like, I mean, that's, I feel like that's how I almost always feel about, like, looking back at how I viewed movies.
Yeah, exactly.
It's kind of funny. But yeah, I mean, these films are all just great.
They're all great. Yeah. Again, like, to remind everyone, this is, like, spanning from, like, a 3.5 to, like, 5 stars.
Yeah, which is a much better scale than pretty much every filmmaker that exactly. I can think of, except maybe, like, I don't know, maybe, like, Scorsese.
I'm trying to think. I can't.
Yeah. So, anyways, what is your next movie?
My next movie mm-hmm. is The Boy and the Heron.
Oh.
I know. I said this when I reviewed it on my letterbox. Mm-hmm. No product placement. We're not sponsored yet.
Sadly not.
But Boy and the Heron was what I kind of wanted from Spirited Away in a little bit of a way. And obviously Spirited Away and Boy and the Heron are completely two different films. But what I really, really loved about Boy and the Heron is that you kind of get to know what's going on with the boy and how that kind of relates to his story. Like, obviously with Spirited Away, like, we drop the girl, like, in her world, which is totally, like, that's understandable, and I think that works for that specific film. But I think with this one, it's a lot of interesting to see, you know, him, like, moving to a new town that his, like, his mom died in a fire during the war. His father has married his aunt, and he's just going through a lot. Mm-hmm. And I think I just think the way that the story is told and the way that it goes, I think, is really interesting and a little bit weird, but I love it.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, and it's also beautifully, like, it's so beautiful. I mean, you're going to hear the word beautiful, like, 20,000 times in this. It's also, like, gruesome a little bit. Like, I remember the scene with the seagull, Willem Dafoe just being, like, this is, and just also in addition, like, the idea of succession, not the TV show, but, like, having to have someone to, you know, have to
replace you.
Yeah. And I think I recently watched one of the documentaries on HBO Max about Miyazaki, and it's during the time where he was trying to find a successor, and one of the people that was helping him run Ghibli, and he's like, he's trying to find another Miyazaki. There's no other Miyazaki, and kind of like that scariness of that and how the world is going to end and like what your creation has. And I think that's really interesting, especially when he was originally thinking that this was his final film, but then was like, never mind.
Yeah.
But yeah, I really love Boy and the Heron. Also, I know we're going to talk about it, but I thought Howl's Moon Castle was the best dubbed, but then Boy and the Heron came in and was like, yeah, no. I think Robert Pattinson's performance in this film, I know it's oversaid, he's so good in this movie.
He's so good.
He's so good. And I think it's just so funny that when I was watching the trailer, I was like, is that Willem Dafoe? And then I was like, no. What? I also think the boy who plays the boy in this movie, I think he's really good too. I think all of them are really, really good in this movie. But especially, I feel like sometimes with Ghibli protagonist, the main character, kid characters don't really do as great of a job. But I think he did a really good job with emoting. Also, another thing, I think the sound design in this movie is awesome.
Yes.
It's so good because you're hearing every step, you're hearing every creak. It's awesome. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So when the way that you said it, do you feel like you have it too high?
I was just scared that was going to be an unpopular opinion or something.
Okay, because I have it at 3.
Oh,
Okay. My number three. So yeah, that's why I was perfect. And we saw it at the same time, right?
I forgot that we did. That was so funny. We were just like, oh, hi.
Yeah.
I forgot about that.
No, I did too. And then I was like, you said Boy in the Heron. And I was like, wait.
Wait, were we in the same theater?
But for me, I also pretty much have all the same feelings as you. I think that this is the most beautiful Ghibli film, or at least beautiful Miyazaki film.
Oh, 100%.
Just because the animation, like obviously the technology and whatnot has evolved, and Miyazaki has taken full advantage of that. They've been working on this for like 11 years or something crazy like that, I think.
Iconic.
You know, and just this, like you were saying before, just kind of feels like Miyazaki's, it feels like his final film, even though it's not. And it feels like him coping with that idea of like finding a successor. Mm-hmm. And like I made a joke after I saw this with Anthony, and I was just like, this almost feels like Miyazaki saying that his son could never replace him.
Oh my God. No. Yeah. I heard of, like, because I didn't really know the story until my friend was like, oh, do you not know about him and his son? And I was like, no. And then I was like, oh. But then again, his son's movies are kind of low on my list.
Like his
so
son
it's okay.
made Earwig. You know? So, in, like, I hope that's not the case, but I just kind of, like, it felt like that a little bit. And, yeah, like you were saying, like, Robert Pattinson, his performance was incredible. And the score is
so good.
Yeah, and it's just the way that its sound and its scores able just to match how magical the rest of this movie is, I think is like so impressive just on its own. And I think that there's just not enough good things that can be said about this film. And it could end up going higher on mine, on yours, and I think a lot of other people's lists in the future. But I think because it's come out so recently, it feels weird to put it above certain classics.
No, 100%. Yeah. I think it will just take a few years before it will take kind of like a classic thing. Because I feel like some of the time, like our favorite Studio Ghibli movies are the ones, or favorite Miyazaki films are the ones that we kind of like have a nostalgia for.
Yeah.
And I also think that I really, just to touch on like the music of this, I'm a sucker for like when they put like music with like a certain like sound or like a kind of a drop. Every time the Heron enters and there's that musical cue, I think I like every time I'm always like, oh, that's so cool. Like, it's so good. And I also think it's an interesting, like, theme of, like, there's a whole thing in the story where we don't really know the world that we're put in, but we do know that there's, like, kind of a hierarchy. And the wizard dude's like, oh, why would you want to go back to your, like, home? They're suffering. And, like, he can't even notice that there's suffering in his world. And I find that really interesting and how, like, children have to, like, deal with suffering. It's so cool. There's so many cool things in Boy in the Heron. No, we could go I on for hours.
Yeah. And sadly, we got to kind of not necessarily pick up the pace, because I think we're actually going at a really good pace, but we do need to move on.
Yeah.
So I guess I'll do what I had after Kiki's, which is my number six, and that is Porco Rosso.
Okay, I haven't seen that one.
Okay. So yeah, Porco Rosso to me was just so fun. You know, I had so much fun watching it. It didn't move me like, you know, like Kiki's. I kind of have it in the same tier as Kiki's, Howl's Moving Castle, and Ponyo. And that's kind of like what I have with this list, where it's all kind of split into tiers. Mm-hmm. And Porco, it's just like, it's at the top of that for me just because of how fun it was. I think the English dub is really good because Michael Keaton is Porco.
Oh, that's so good.
Yeah, just, it was perfect. It was just, he matches the vibe and who Porco is just perfectly.
You just sold me this movie.
Yeah, like literally I think I was like somewhere between five and ten minutes into this film, and I was like, wait, is that Michael Keaton? And once I realized, like, I googled it, and I was like, oh my god, that's awesome. And I just kept watching, and he keeps having these lines where it's like, I'm a pig. And just every time where he does that, I'm just like, that is awesome.
That's
and
iconic.
Like, I love you, Porco Keaton.
Porco
Keaton. And yeah, I mean, that's just, that's how I feel. And those are my feelings all up
odd.
There for Porco. And yeah, he just, I want to watch Porco again very badly.
I guess that's my movie watch tonight is Porco.
Yeah, that might have to be it. Because, yeah, like I've had that voice just stuck in my head ever since, you know, and it's just, it's not going to be a Ghibli movie that moves you. It's not going to, you're not necessarily going to be like, oh my God, this movie is beautiful. But it's the type of film where, to me, it's just like manly man do man things. And I like that sometimes. You know, sometimes I'm just like, okay, this is like way too masculine for me. But like, this was just like, I don't know. To me, I was like, God, I like, I'm glad I'm not like that, but like also I wish.
Oh yeah. Yeah. My one friend gets gender envy from like the very toxic masculinity, like people in film.
Yeah.
And it's also like, I'm like, okay, that's cool. But I think you also need help if you're relating to the dude from Fight Club.
Oh, yeah, no, I don't want to relate to... No, I do not want to relate to Edward Norton or Brad Pitt.
That's so bad. Funny. I watched Memento, and I instantly texted them being like, I think you would like this movie. And
oh my God,
that's not a great sign.
No, not necessarily. Anyway. Anyways, we should probably move on. But yeah, Porco Rosso, it's not like that. Like, he is not necessarily a toxic pig. I would say
toxic pig.
But he's just, you know, he's a fun guy. I would hang out with him, you know. And I guess now you should do whatever you have after Boy and the Heron.
What I have after Boy and the Heron was originally Howls.
Okay.
So that's my three.
Mm-hmm.
However, my second one is Princess Mononoke.
That's also my number two.
Yes.
Okay, so then I know what your number one is.
Yeah, you do.
Okay. All right. So, yeah, Mononoke. Why do you have it there?
I love Princess Mononoke.
Me too.
It's one of the movies that I don't know if this is, like, the only one, but is it his only PG-13 one? Or is there another one where there is a PG-13?
Unless Boy and the Heron is PG-13, then no.
I don't think it is, because I did see Boy and the Heron the second time with a bunch of kids in the theater.
Okay, so then, yeah, it's only Mononoke then, which makes sense.
Oh, my God, it makes so much sense. And I think that kind of proves to me that, like, I think he should do more PG-13.
Yeah.
I even said to my friend, I was like, what if there was a rated R Miyazaki? And my friend goes, that sounds epic. But
maybe his next movie is a rated R, you know?
But I love Princess Mononoke. I think it's obviously beautifully animated. I think the story and its themes of war and pollution are usual for Miyazaki, but I think this movie really brings it out. I think it's just such an interesting world, and like kind of dealing with like everyone having flaws and there's no like good character, I think is really, really interesting. And I also love with Miyazaki that even if he's dealing with a harsh subject matter, there's still like kind of like an up look at it. Like it's still gonna have like a semi-happy ending, with like obviously some stakes, but like there's still hope in the end, and I always like that with his films. So, and I think that's really apparent with Mononoke.
Yeah, that's how I felt too. I watched this for the first time at the DKA screening.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So I know DKA is the Cinematic Society Kit and I are both part of.
Yo.
And yeah, you know, if you go to the school and you want to be a part of a cinematic society, you know, you should join DKA. We are recruiting next week. This is an ad. Anyways, going back to Mononoke, it was just, it blew me away.
Yeah.
It was so wondrous, and I found the themes of, you know, just climate change and how we interact with the environment, and then war, like you were saying, and pollution and all of that to be so powerful. And to me, just, I think Nausicaä has really similar themes mm-hmm. to Mononoke. And to me, Mononoke is like that, but just done a lot better. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I mean, just every moment of this film, I was hooked, and I was never taken out of the narrative really for any reason, aside from maybe if somebody coughed in the lecture hall or something. But I remember being so incredibly invested and like wanting there to be some good conclusion, but also just not wanting the story to end mm-hmm. and just wanting to keep like staying and just living in that, you know, cruel and beautiful world.
It's, and yeah.
What I also found to be like really funny was just the way it started, where like we see like the main character, I can't remember his name, let me just see, Ashitaka, we just see him like shoot someone's head off.
Yeah.
Like at the start. And I was just like, that was so funny to me.
I totally forgot that happened. And yeah. I was rewatching it and I was like, oh.
Yeah.
Okay, we're starting off with this. Princess Mononoke is another one where I think it's a good introduction to Ghibli or Miyazaki. I mm-hmm. think because it like has, I think the storytelling's really good. Another thing that I love about Miyazaki is that he's very much like, here is the world, figure it out yourself. And like, yeah. it's really interesting. I watched, this was another one that I watched with my partner, my friend. And when we were trying to figure out what to like show to him, my friend was like, he likes Legend of Zelda, right? And I was like, yeah. And they were like, okay, we're showing him Princess Mononoke because that's a perfect kind of bridge between Legend of Zelda. And it was really funny just watching both of them be like, this is a reference to Legend of Zelda. And it just proved. So Miyazaki, take the Legend of Zelda movie from Sony, please. Anyway, I think it's a really accessible film too, just dealing with those kinds of themes that like, I just think it's so good. So.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And I feel like it's one of those movies where it's hard to even find the words to mm-hmm. describe it. And yeah. I mean, I'm just trying to think what else that can even really be said mm-hmm. about this film that hasn't been said
exactly.
by someone else at some point in time already. I think it's kind of interesting, though, the way that you and I view an intro Miyazaki film, because, like, you think that this and Howl's are good ones. Well, I feel like Wind Rises, which is, I feel like, a polar opposite to those films, yeah. is a good introduction. So it's kind of interesting, just, like, the way, like, we can view these types of films so mm-hmm. differently, but also similarly, and
yeah, that's and the cool I think, thing about them. Yeah, and I also think it's a really interesting way of, like, how we're brought up in the world in a way. Because, mm-hmm. like, I think the reason why I think Howl and Mononoke are kind of good, like, introduction ones is that not only are those the most popular ones, but I think those are the, like, most kind of, like, I feel like you have a fantasy world, but it still feels, like, real. Whereas, like, Wind Rises is, like, a historical one, which isn't a disadvantage of it at all.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so.
Yeah, and then for me, I feel like, I don't know, I was brought up with, like, mostly people around me who liked only conventional movies.
Okay.
Yeah, like, my mom, she won't watch a movie if it's subtitled, you know?
Oh, my gosh, my mom's the same
and
way.
It sucks, because, like, I would show her a lot of really cool, like, French films I feel like she'd like, but she wouldn't watch it because it's not subtitled.
No, literally.
Yeah, and, like, my dad, he won't watch, like, the Spider-Verse movies because I animated, you know? So it's, like, this to me is, like, Wind Rises is just such a bridge between, mm-hmm. like, conventional viewing and, like, trying to see if conventional viewers would actually like a Miyazaki movie. Because if you're not going to, like, at least appreciate Wind Rises, then there's no chance that you're going to like really any other Miyazaki movies, mm-hmm. in my opinion. Like, not necessarily you have to like Wind Rises, but, like, appreciate.
You can, like, even if it's, like, low on my list, I still am like, oh, I really loved the themes and the animation.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Anyways, moving on, I guess I'll do what I had after Porco Rosso, which is also your number one, Castle in the Sky.
I have a bias towards this movie. I apologize.
Why do you have this bias?
This is the one that I watched. This was my first reintroduction to Studio Ghibli. I have a really soft spot for this movie.
Mm-hmm.
I have a tattoo of it on me. I think it's similar in a way to Princess Mononoke in a way where this one is a little bit for a younger kind of audience using kind of the similar things and kind of the starting off point.
Mm-hmm.
I just really have like a nostalgic like way of like when I watched it the first time was like I was with my friend and this kind of started our love for Studio Ghibli. And, you know, it was just fun to watch a movie where I don't think I had ever been really entranced with another animated film since Little Mermaid, and this one kind of like I related to more. I just love the world. I love the characters. I think the villain is great. I have a bias. I think Muska is awesome. I think the animation's gorgeous. I think the music is great. I have a big soft spot for this movie. And I also think it like deals with the war and corruption and kind of environmentalism in a good way too.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I think it's more accessible than Mononoke, but I still feel like Mononoke is still accessible, but obviously like you're not going to show your like 5-year-old child Mononoke.
No.
But like Castle in the Sky is a good starting off point. I also just think both of the characters are so because like they're younger than most mm-hmm. of the like they're younger, but like I think they're both so important to the story for both of their sides, and I think they both give a really good perspective.
Yeah.
So
and like even though they're younger, I found them to be younger, but like not annoying.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I found yeah. you know I found the like I think. Chihiro is the name Chihiro from Spirited Away. I even found her to be annoying at mm-hmm. times, despite Spirited Away being my favorite Ghibli movie. But like here, even though these are younger protagonists, I don't remember them being annoying
yeah.
at all. So I think that is pretty nice, you mm-hmm. know, just because I think as like an intro type of Ghibli film, you probably want there to not necessarily be characters that might annoy people.
Yeah.
And yeah, like this film just, it really has so much grandeur to it. You know, it just, it feels massive because mm-hmm. it's all going to this big castle
yeah.
in the sky. And like, I really appreciated it. I found all the themes to be great, and mm-hmm. it introduced me to Miyazaki's fascination with flying
yeah.
and with, like, airplanes and whatnot, mm-hmm. which I know Wind Rises is all about, but, like, you know, Castle in the Sky introduces that not only to, like, people like me, but also just anybody, yeah. you know?
Yeah, and I also just think, like, I think there's so many shots of that movie. Like, obviously, with every Miyazaki film, there's always going to be, like, a screenshot where it's, like, the most beautiful, like, screensaver that you want in your computer or just,
yeah.
like, an art piece. But all I remember is just, like, the image that's obviously used on the poster a lot where the, like, boy is just letting the girl, like, just fall and she's, like, she's just floating. I think that's such an interesting, like, kind of, like, just an introduction to it. I think it's just so you're like, why is this girl floating?
Yeah.
Why is this boy like? And I also think just because they go from so much different worlds, I also really like their friendship. I don't think they ever, most of the time with Miyazaki, I don't think ever there's ever really a romance between the two characters for most of them. I know that there's like Kiki, for example, like those two are together, but like at least for those two, I don't remember them like ever having a romantic relationship. So it's really nice to see two characters that yes are both a boy and a girl, but they're also just like have a strong platonic bond.
Yeah,
I might be misremembering this movie, which I know is my favorite, but I just remember that being a huge thing.
Yeah. I mean, I felt a little bit of like possible romantic
yeah.
interest, mm-hmm. but like it wasn't really direct. It was more just that the guy was really fascinated with her.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that fascination with her could almost be interpreted as like romance or like a crush,
yeah.
but it wasn't necessarily direct. At least that's how
No,
100%
agreed. Like it's in the future, but like their relationship like is based on a platonicness.
Yes.
And also that she's kind of the key to his dreams in a way,
yeah.
like just like to getting to the castle in the sky.
All right. So at 11, Nausicaä at 3.5 stars. Then Totoro at 10, 3.5 stars. Ponyo is next with 4 stars. then Howl's Moving Castle, 4 stars. Kiki's, also 4 stars. And then finally, you know, Porco Keaton with 4 stars. big reason why I love that movie was Michael Keaton. So I just had to.
That's going
to
be my Letterboxd review when I watch it.
It should be. You know, that it deserves that. Yeah. Castle in the Sky at 5 with 4.5. Wind Rises with 4.5. And then Boy and the Heron, or I like the original title better, How Do You Live?
That's such a better title.
Then I have 2 Miyazaki movies, which I think are like masterpieces, quote unquote, and that's Mononoke, 5 stars, and Spirited Away, 5 stars.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, at my number nine, because I only see 9 out of 11, I'm sorry, mm-hmm. Miyazaki. I have Wind Rises at 3 stars. Then I have My Neighbor Totoro at 3.5 stars for number 8. Then Ponyo at number 7 with 4 stars. Spirited Away at 6 with 4 stars. Kiki's Delivery Service at 5 with 4 stars. The Boy and the Heron, I have at 4 stars at number 4. Howl's Moving Castle, I have at 4.5. Princess Mononoke, for some reason I have 4.5. That's getting a 5. What the hell am I doing? And then finally, Castle in the Sky at 5 out of 5.
Nice. All right. Well, thank you for joining the show.
Thank you for having me.
First episode of the semester. Woo-hoo. So, yeah, woohoo to that. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in.
If you
haven't seen any of these movies, they are all recommended movies. Miyazaki, like we've both said, one of the greatest directors of all time. Greatest animated film director of all time. I think that's not even a debate.
That's not a debate.
Yeah. It's Miyazaki, you know? All these films are good. And, yeah, you should check them out. And then, yeah, do you have any final thoughts?
This isn't a Miyazaki, but y'all should watch Whisper of the Heart. That one's a Ghibli, and it's really good.
Okay. I have to check that out.
Yeah, though, that I one, I that's it. My, like, I think that's, like, a like that's actually, like, the one that I think is, like, the best. But then I'm like, Castle in the Sky is my favorite, but Whisper of the Heart's the best. Also, it's, gotcha. Like, it's, like, an artist film. Like, a lot of people that, like, create art will really connect to it.
That's good. I'll definitely check it out then. All right. So, yeah, thank you everyone again for tuning in, and I will see you all in the next episode.
Bye.
Take care.